When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to Christ. While we are still standing, please receive now the remainder of our passage from Matthew chapter 8. I'll be reading verses 14 through 17. "Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, so that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses.'" Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing. Shape us by your living and active word. And may we live lives pleasing to you, for we bear your name and we long to do so honorably. We pray all of this in the matchless name of Jesus, and amen. You may be seated. There has been a discussion that has popped up over the years. Early days while I was in church, I encountered this discussion. I encountered this on the baseball field. I encountered this while hiking in the mountains with my friends. The discussion would pop up. I can recall this at Bible college. I can recall this discussion happening at seminary. There was a bit more of a debate. It's a discussion or a debate that surfaces about what's most important in being a Christian. What's most important in being a follower of Jesus Christ? Some people would say doctrine is what's most important. Other people would say, no, what you do, your duty, is what's most important. So on the one side, some would emphasize the teachings. If you don't have the teachings, you don't have it. You need to have certain beliefs in place. For these people, the content matters. Others emphasized the life, the behavior. For these people, the conduct is what mattered. Matter of fact, if you step back a few paces, you'll realize that people who bear the name of Christ will actually approach life in usually one way heavier than the other way. Some people will even choose a church based upon this. This church doctrine. Other people will say, nah, that's really not that important. It's what this church does that really matters. Sometimes this discussion degenerates into a downplaying of the other. Those who are strong on the content will downplay the duty. Other times, those who are strong on the duty, the conduct, will downplay the content. It really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're doing this. A discussion, a debate. For Jesus and his followers, Both are important. In the Gospel of Matthew, now we go from speaking to doing. We go from words to works. Jesus comes down from the mountain of the Sermon on the Mount, after his astonishing teaching. Remember, they were amazed at his teaching. He now displays some astonishing works. Later on, someone's even going to say this: who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? The gospel is more than just information. It is information, but it's more than information. The gospel itself is active, and the gospel expects action. Action based upon what? How do I do what I'm supposed to do? It's based upon the teaching. The gospel is more than the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The gospel is more than Christmas or Easter. The gospel is about the words and the works of Jesus. Even if someone doesn't believe them or follow them, the gospel is still about the content and the conduct, the words and the works of Jesus. Jesus' wondrous works, his healings, his miracles are not tricks. They are not trinkets. They are not a side show. They are all about who he is and what he came to do. In this today, and in the passages before us in the weeks to come, we will see the gospel of restoration, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of deliverance, the gospel of cleansing, the gospel of welcome. This is what Jesus is doing, and we will also see what it means for us, for those who are restored or cleansed or healed, raised up to follow Jesus. Matthew 8 and 9, loaded with deeds, loaded with miraculous works. In Matthew chapter 8, we're going to begin with three. There's a leper, cleansed. There's the servant of a Roman soldier. He is healed. And Peter's mother-in-law. She is raised up from a fever. As we look at these three today, here's a little bit of an outline. This is what we're going to see. We are going to see what Jesus did. We're then going to take a look at what does that mean? And then we're going to take a look at the results. So, what did Jesus do? What does all that mean? And then what are the results? So let's begin with what Jesus did. The leper. The outcast is touched. The outcast is touched. The isolated one asks humbly and confidently, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Humbly, "Lord, if you're willing," confidently, "you can." Leprosy in the Bible covered a number of afflictions of the skin, of clothing, and even of buildings. Leprosy covered a number of afflictions. Leprosy in the Bible was considered to be given directly by God. The Hebrew could actually be rendered a touching, as if God touched the person. King Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26, intruded where he shouldn't have intruded, and the Lord struck him, the Lord touched him with leprosy, and they said, "Get out of the temple, get out now." To encounter someone with leprosy was to encounter someone upon whom the judgment of the Lord had come. Someone whom the Lord had touched. Someone whom God had touched. You remember Miriam, Numbers chapter 12? In her opposition to Moses and his leadership, she was touched with leprosy. Moses prayed for her. "Oh Lord, please. Please." Here's a leper. Someone no one wanted to touch. Someone who was to give a warning. Leper, unclean, unclean,
Stay away, don't touch.
We don't know how long it had been since he'd been touched. And he is touched by Jesus. He is touched now by God. After being touched, he is immediately, here it is, immediately cleansed. Jesus tells him, don't tell anyone, but go. Do this. Go and act. Jesus gives his word. Show the priest and offer the gift that Moses said to offer as proof of your cleansing. The leper, the outcast, is touched. The leper's faith is faith in the will of God. If you will, and in the power of God, you are able. What else did Jesus do? He comes to Capernaum, and a Roman soldier approaches him and speaks about his servant. And here, outsiders are welcomed. The soldier is pleading with Jesus. The word is to exhort, to encourage. It's parakaleo. He's come up alongside of Jesus, and he is begging Jesus on behalf of his servant. There's a close relationship between the Roman soldier and his servant. The servant's living in his home. The servant is paralyzed and dreadfully tormented. The word could mean tortured. So he can't move and he's tortured. He's locked down and tormented. Jesus says, I will come to your home. And the Roman soldier says, no, I'm not worthy. Just say the word. All you have to do is speak, and my servant will be healed. The soldier explains, I too am a man under authority, and I'm also a man with authority. I say to one, go, and what does he do? He goes. I say to another, come, and he shows up. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. I understand authority, Lord. Just say the word. Jesus is amazed. In contrast to many in Israel, this Roman soldier, this outsider, has great faith. And his faith is such that he knows Jesus has authority. For the leper, it's your will. And you have the power of God to touch. For the Roman soldier, it's a matter of authority. Do you know what Jesus says to this man? You're going to be at the table. You're going to come to communion along with many others from the East and the West. You're going to be at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You're going to be part of the family. Meanwhile, the sons of the kingdom, those who say that they are of the kingdom, they don't acknowledge my authority. They're going to be cast out, thrown out into darkness and to torment. Your servant who is under torment, there's another torment. And that's not acknowledging my authority. So Jesus sends him home. And once Jesus sends him home, right at that moment, right then, his servant is healed. What else did Jesus do? Jesus enters Simon Peter's home. Verse 14 and following. And he sees Peter's wife's mother lying down, sick with a fever. Jesus touches her hand, and the fever goes away. And she rises up, and she serves. Fevers were common. Was this really that big of a deal? A leper was an outcast. That's a big deal. The servant, the family member of a Roman soldier, may very well die, needs to be healed. That's a big deal. But this, a fever? Was this really that big of a deal? Yes. This is actually quite amazing. Take note. The leper was unclean. As Romans, the servant of the soldier was unwelcome. For Peter's mother-in-law, The fever represented something going on that was unknown. Fevers are there to fight off something. The heat was on. Something was wrong. No one in the house would have known for sure, truly, confidently, what is the fever fighting? Is there something else going on? Could they have said, hey, it's just a fever? But the Lord knows. The Lord cleanses the unclean. He welcomes the outsider. And now He restores in ignorance, in our ignorance. Isn't this wondrous? Look what the Lord does. I will clean, I will heal, and even when you don't know what's going on, I will be active. That's what Jesus did. Now, what does it mean? Oh, but before we get to that, Matthew adds something. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Get out. Probably said, go. And he healed all who were sick. Others were bringing others to Jesus. Demon possession. No problem. Go. Sickness. Done. Everyone was healed. Our passage has three mentions specifically: the leper, the servant of the soldier, and Peter's mother-in-law. But then there are many others, many more, and there are more to come. But what does this mean? Matthew is very clear. All of this happened to fulfill what Isaiah said way back then. We are told what's going on here. Matthew says this is what Isaiah was talking about. He himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. This is who Jesus is and this is what he does. He is the one who comes to the outcast, to the outsiders, and to others, and takes away their weaknesses and their diseases. But there's something more here. It's not just that he takes them. He picks them up and bears them away. He picks them up. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. What would it be? What's it like? He takes them. Now, some have suggested that authors, literature, they've tried to convey this. Some have suggested that this is something similar to the Stephen King character, John Coffey, where he takes the illnesses of other people, or that this is an Oscar Wilde type of picture of Dorian Gray, where he stays in one way, but the portrait or the picture becomes diseased and infected and devastated. Jesus takes our infirmities. He takes your weaknesses. He takes your sicknesses. He picks them up and bears them away. It's the exact word that Mary used in John's gospel. Jesus has risen. He's out of the tomb. And she sees a man whom she thinks is the gardener. And she says, Lord, sir, Kyrie, if you have taken him away, please tell me where you have laid him. The idea is that this gardener had picked up the body of Jesus and carried it somewhere. When Jesus takes our infirmities and bears our sicknesses, it's not as if Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law and then all of a sudden he has a fever. It's not that he heals a paralytic and then he himself becomes paralyzed. It's not as if he heals or cleanses the leper and then he himself becomes leprous. What's going on is all of these things are the results of the fall. These are the effects of sin, and Christ came to deal with sin. And so what he'll do is he'll take from and then he'll take away. Death could not hold Christ, nor could those things pointing forward pre-death hold Christ. Isaiah, Matthew says that this Isaiah passage is about the work of Christ. And this, by the way, is why the cleansing of the leper, the healing of the servant, the welcoming of the paralyzed, and the raising up of a fevered woman are all portraits of the salvation that we have. Which makes all of us, we should, every one of us, ask the question. It's not just a pastoral question, it's a Christian question. Why is it that we want to pick up again what Christ has taken away? Why? If Christ has welcomed you as an outsider, called you clean and said you are now welcome to come into worship, why do we want to say, oh no, I'm going to act like I'm not? And if our Lord has healed us and welcomed us to the table, removing the paralysis, removing the torment and the threat of destruction, why would we say, you know what, I want to go back to the old ways? You know what we've seen so far? We've seen what Jesus did. We've seen what it means. What are the results? Let's conclude with the results. These are gospel portraits. As with the leper, the servant, the mother-in-law, so too with us. We see the ministry of Christ then and there, and we see it even now here with the results. These are the same things that happen to us. These are the same things that have happened for you, for me. The leper was cleansed, and the leper was given the word of Jesus, go and obey me. I want you to do this. I'm telling you what to do. The Roman soldier was given a place at the table. You are now in communion with me and with others. These are gospel portraits. Oh, but then we come to Peter's mother-in-law and we tend to wonder. This is a little odd. Pastor, I get the cleansed of leprosy. I see that picture and that we are to follow Jesus' word. I get that one. I see also our Lord's healing work of our sin-sick souls, and often of our bodies. And He welcomes us. Come to the table. I get that. But this, Peter's mother-in-law, this raising her, and then her serving them, may strike us as a bit self-serving. As if, you're better now, get us something to eat. That's odd. But that misses what's going on here. Remember, Jesus is fulfilling God's calling to Israel, fulfilling God's calling to His people. He is taking our place and then enabling us to live the gospel life. She was raised up and enabled to serve Jesus. Again, as the gospel goes from words to works, from Jesus' wondrous, astonishing teaching to His amazing works, remember it includes both, it's the same for us. Who are you? Let me explain, and let me show you. The gospel is active. We are leprous until cleansed by Jesus, and then what happens? We're placed into a community. Once I was an outsider, now I'm brought in. Now, speaking of outsiders, let's talk about other nations. Other nations. Every other nation. Like those on the outside, we were once unwelcomed, and now we in Christ are welcomed at the table. And we are given communion. And like those with various unknown illnesses, how many sins has Christ delivered you from? I don't know. How has the Lord protected you over the years? Let me count the ways, and then let me tell you there are so many ways that I don't even. Like those with various unknown illnesses, we are unable to serve until we are restored by Jesus, and then we serve Him by caring for one another. The gospel is wondrous, the gospel is active, and when the gospel takes root in our lives, it's not just what we believe and what we say and what we confess, it's how we live and what Jesus enables us to do. Come, I have cleansed you. Come to the table, and now show your love by serving me, and show that by serving one another. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us be gospel people. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to you through Jesus Christ, and we ask that you give us grace to be not only hearers, but doers of thy holy word. Not only to admire, but to obey thy doctrine. Not only to profess, but to practice thy religion. Not only to love, but to live thy gospel. So grant, dear Lord, that what we learn of thy glory, we may receive into our hearts and show forth in our lives. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all of God's people said,